Do you know what she did? Your canting daughter!
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my home.
Welcome to Horror for Dummies, episode 25. I'm your host, as always. My name is Tim, and with me is the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, Ben.
That's me.
Yeah. How is it, Ben?
How are you? I is well.
Yeah?
All is well.
That's good, man. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I'm doing good.
That's good, man.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How's your week been? Any
fucking
news?
Busy, man. Busy.
Yeah?
Fucking busy at work, and then we're down to like just under 2 weeks till our due date now.
Oh.
So running around just getting last bits and pieces sorted at home, yeah, and a nursery ready and getting as ready as we can be so that when we finally have the kid, we can realize how not ready we are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that, man. You're never ready.
Nah. But damn it, I'm going to go headfirst into not being ready.
You'll be fine, man. Your first child, scary.
I'm keen.
Yeah, you guys will do fine.
Amy's getting a bit crazy as it gets closer, and I can't wait for that to end too. Don't tell her.
She doesn't listen to these shows, does she?
No.
Oh, luckily.
Oh, Ben, I've been listening to this one.
Yeah, my week's been pretty boring, truthfully. Yeah. I had a disappointing night of television on Monday night.
Yes, you did tell me about that.
Did I?
Yeah.
What? When?
I don't know. I can't remember. You texted No, you texted me saying that you were watching it, and then I swear we talked about something.
The Walking Dead and...
That's right.
Wrestling. Oh, I did too. That's right. Can't remember the last 2 days.
No.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber. Very predictable. And The Walking Dead, the season opening. Mid-season opening. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, spoiler alert. Carl dies. Oh, shit. Sorry.
What?
You didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it. But that's fucking... Coral.
Oh, it's the...
Oh, no.
It was so disappointing.
Now the coral really is getting extinct.
Yeah.
Oh, no, good. Tim.
Yeah, I won't go too much into The Walking Dead, but I'm kind of on that bandwagon now where I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah, I got over it ages ago.
Yeah, I think everyone did. I think I was the last one hanging on to that,
I think you were, right?
Yeah.
Even when people started telling me it was still getting, like, gnarly again, I watched a couple episodes, and, like, it was a couple of cool things, and then it got boring again, and I was like, and there it is.
Man, Jeffrey Dean Morgan can do no wrong, in my opinion.
That's because he is a godsend.
Exactly, but...
He's so handsome.
Oh, man, I would turn gay
that
for him.
That smile.
Oh, I know, right? I really like the salt and pepper beard.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I can't wait till I turn gray.
Forget George Clooney.
Oh, fuck George Clooney.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He is the silver fox.
He is too. Anyway, if you want to hear my thoughts about The Walking Dead, email me or text me in and we'll have a discussion.
And if you want to hear more gay thoughts, ask us about that too.
Yeah, go for it. Anyway, we got a big show tonight, man. Like, we are doing a lot of things here on this show. We've got a big mailbag. We're talking about The Exorcist, which is like basically the biggest fucking horror movie of all time.
Correct, sir.
We're talking about another movie. Then we've got some music to talk about. Jesus Christ, we've got a lot to talk about.
We really do.
We do. But if this is your first... Sorry, you go.
No, you're on a roll. I want to hear what this says.
Oh, you're cute.
I know.
If this is your first time listening, just remember that this is a spoiler podcast and we are going to spoil The Exorcist. So if you haven't seen a 40-plus-year-old movie, it's your own fault.
That's true. Come on, guys. Even I've seen this exactly. before this.
And that's saying something.
It really is.
But before we get into it, we have to give a shout out to our people across the pond, the Padded Room Podcast, and their beautiful network that we are a part of.
Hooray!
So shout out to... Oh, sorry. If you like us, if you like their stuff and like Cakewell stuff, check us all out at thepadded room.podbean.com. We have not... Oh. We have... We have not just the three shows, we also have a Patreon account which is filled to the brim with stuff. Like Darian does his own American Horror Story, Cakewolf does his own Tales from the Dark Side story, and our friend Buddy does his own. Oh my god, I can't even remember what they call it. Sex stories.
Yeah, nice.
He has a sexy voice. Maybe one day I'll have my own. We'll have our own little Patreon account thing in there. Maybe. One day. We can dream.
I know, right? We need sexier voices. That's
true. No one really likes the Australian slang and
that being said, if we start telling sexy stories in this accent, we can totally get away with saying, "Get it up, yeah!"
That's true, yeah. All right, well, let's just kick into it, yeah? You want to just kick into it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listener mail.
Listener mail.
All right. Our first emailer is, of course, Benjamin, do the honours.
Alan Cha-Cha!
That is he. He asks, he's got a few messages here. Who would you rather fight at their prime, Henry Rollins or Glenn Danzig? I'd rather fight Glenn Danzig because I don't want to go anywhere near Rollins.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd definitely fucking... Danzig any day of the week.
Oh.
He may have been big, but like I don't know if he entirely knew how to use it, whereas Henry Rollins would just fucking flatten you like a steamroller.
I feel like Danzig's just going to stand there and go, "Mother!" And I don't really care.
Imagine if you fought him punching in the face once and he starts going, "Mother, tell that man not to punch my face. I just want to walk away."
That's what I feel like you would do. Fucking hell. All right, he comes in again. You said no one would be spouting... You said no one would be spouting filthy one-liners while fighting a masked killer. I disagree. When I had to fight a mad slasher at summer camp, I got a hold of a flamethrower. And as I was blasting old Choppy with it, I said... "It's just gonna get hotter for you in hell."
That's even better than the one in the movie.
It is.
That's so much better.
Then I lit my cigar at the end of the flamethrower and walked out into the dawn's early light and drove off in my muscle car. I should also mention that Slash and Zach Wilde were trading guitar solos while this was happening.
I am so 100% behind this scenario. If ever we were going to make a movie of something.
Oh, fuck.
I don't even want a story. I want that to be the beginning and end of the movie. Just the whole thing.
He comes in again. I don't really understand what he's getting at.
Okay.
Want to go into a creepy abandoned house? I'll show you a dead body. Okay. I'd like to go to a creepy old house with that one.
I'm frightened.
Now, Alan comes in a fourth time, but this is something a bit different.
He's got some stamina.
Oh, yeah, something a bit different. He's written us a story.
Ooh. Alan's going Cakewolf style.
This is a full-blown children's story, which features us.
Uh-oh.
So hold on to your seatbelts, kids. This is fucking awesome. It's called The Adventures of Tim, the Dung Beetle, and Friends by Alan Chacha. Once there was a dung beetle named Tim, and he lived in an old taco truck in Mr. Taylor's junkyard. Living with Tim was his girlfriend, a spider named Jaleesa, and their two children, a butterfly named Abby, and a cute little larva named Jaden. Tim's best friends were a Jesus lizard named Ben...
Yes, I'm a Jesus lizard!
And his wife, a frilled neck lizard named Amy. He also had a friend named Paley, who was a bird. The other bugs and animals in the junkyard weren't too crazy about Tim and his friends. They thought Tim was weird because he made things from poop. They were scared Jaleesa would eat them. They picked on Ben because the one time he tried to run on the water, he fell in and was just scared of water. They just didn't hang out with Paley and Amy because they were friends with Tim. There was a lake at the end of the junkyard, and on the other side of the lake was a zoo. And in the zoo, there was a wolf pack. And the wolves' names were Darian, Buddy, Monica, and Cake. I love that. Cake. Cake. There was also a warthog in the zoo named Alan. Alan, you're not a warthog. One day, Tim heard the wolves howling and liked what they were howling about. He could also hear the warthog oinking sometimes. Tim found some speakers and speaker wire and was able to wire up a loudspeaker and talk back to the wolves and warthog. They became friends even though they have never met face to face. This sounds familiar.
Did you connect the wires and the speakers with poo?
I guess so.
Ben,
Jell, Amy and Paley would also get on the speaker and talk to the wolves and the hog. One day Paley was out flying around and heard from a rat named Big Ronnie that the junkyard was going to be cleaned up and all the creatures were going to lose their homes if something wasn't done. It turned out Big Ronnie had heard wrong. The junkyard wasn't going to be cleaned up. Something far worse was going to happen soon. A gang of scorpions had been going through the countryside, beating up and robbing all the other little critters, and were heading towards the yard. Paley flew out and looked for the gang. He found them. They were about 3 days away. One-eyed Lou, the junkyard dog, called a meeting of all the critters that lived in the yard to try and figure out what to do. Most of the critters wanted to leave and let the scorpions have the yard. That's when Tim the dung beetle stood up. All the other critters looked at him. Some whispered to themselves about him playing with poop. Tim started to talk quietly, but got louder as he went on. He said this junkyard is his home. It's all their homes, and he would rather fight than give it up. He told me he had an idea up his sleeve. And that's end of chapter one. He's going to come back next week with more.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the rest I know. Of his story.
He's given these to me in parts, and every time I read them, I'm like, damn it, Alan, give me the next part. I need to know what happens.
He's keeping us hanging.
Alan, you are the best, and we need to know what happens to Tim the Dung Beetle and all his friends.
Yeah. I want to know. I'm excited. I don't even care about talking about the movie. I want to know what happens.
All right. We got our next emailer, which is Matthew Fishgold.
Ah, Mr. Jake Wolf
himself, with his usual question of the week. He's starting to do your thing.
Ah.
He asks, you each can have three horror actresses as your wives. Who would they be? This is hard for me. Okay, on the top of my head, and then no in particular order. Danielle Harris, because she's pretty. What would you know her from? Halloween remake. She's the one that gets tits out.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Small little black
hair.
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly would be on. Oh, fuck. Okay, Linnea Quigley.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't say that.
Yeah. I also have a bit of a crush on Scout Taylor Compton, who was Laurie Strode in the Halloween remake.
Yeah.
I think she's pretty as well.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Jennifer Tilly would be up there. That's basically it. Oh, Elvira would be up there as well. Have you got any? Can you think of three?
I don't know the names, but you probably will.
Yeah.
Who was the chick who played Bree in Friday the 13th?
You just took my answer. That was the one I was looking for. Yeah. I can't think of her name
that was the actual...
at the moment. Yeah. If you that give me a second.
With the superb boobs.
It is Juliana Gill.
Yes.
Gill. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce
that
last name.
With her brilliant nipple positioning.
Yeah, the stupendous.
Yes, stupendous. The actress from Species.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Natasha Henstridge.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, you're beating me now. I know,
right? And then the third one, I'm sort of stumped. I sort of hadn't locked in an answer, and then some of what you've just thrown out's confused me.
Why? Because you want to take my girls?
A little bit.
Who would you
take?
Can
we share wives?
Yeah, we can do a threesome.
Yeah, nice.
Put her on the spit.
Totally the one from Halloween remake. Gets her tits out.
Danielle Harris. Yeah,
she's slamming.
And it's funny because she's in her 40s. And she's like, looks younger than me.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. And she's got a kid, so you know she puts out.
Yeah, that's right.
Dirty. Second portion of the question. You can only have them if your current wife can have their top three actors as husband. Would you still go through with it? Yes. So this can go nuts. Bonus, if you boys find out who your wife's top three are before recording. Oh, and you'd probably have to bang your wives with these dudes at some point, sometime, somewhere. Well, I asked Jaleesa, and I did find out her top three, and I'm quite okay sharing them.
Okay.
Sharing Jaleesa with them. So her top three are Johnny Depp.
Yep.
The Rock.
Yep.
And Jason Momoa.
Would Joe actually get any action in this, or would you just be trying to fuck those guys?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Did you happen to get Amy's answer?
Well, I didn't have to, because you did, you creeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke to your wife today.
I know,
and I'm going to read you.
It's strange.
What? Well, that's strange.
Well, it's not strange you talking to her, but that's a random question to ask. She's like, "Hey, Amy."
Just, I'm going to read the whole conversation right now because it's pretty funny. So I started. Mrs. Amy, one of the Horror for Dummies listeners has asked you a question. He asks, what three Hollywood actors would you marry given the chance? Her reply, ha ha ha, how random. But I'm already married to my Benbow and he's the best.
Yeah.
I said, hypothetically.
You should say that to start with.
She's a tough cookie to crack. I said, hypothetically. She goes, I don't really have celebrity crushes. I legit just think of Ben. If I had to think of a crush like Marshall does with Lily in How I Met Your Mother, I'll have to think a second.
And she comes with a fully prepared list.
Sure, well, she gives me three. There's something about these three that remind me of someone I know.
Oh yeah,
one of these people especially. So she goes, okay, Tom Hardy. So Miss Monica's going to be full on Team Amy right now because she's all obsessed with Tom Hardy. Joe Manganiello. I don't know how to pronounce it. I
know the guy.
What's he from? Magic Mike.
Yeah.
He's the guy that looks exactly like you. Well. Who's he in How I Met Your Mother?
Brad, Marshall's friend.
Fuck, he is too.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
And if I had to push for a third, I guess maybe Chris Hemsworth.
I'd allow it.
Now, I noticed
solid choices.
You are basically like Joe Manganiello. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, I got better abs, but he's only got six. I've just got one big one.
I like it how Amy thought of actors that kind of resemble you. Like, Jaleesa couldn't have thought, like...
What are you talking about? You're like The Rock. Oh, you both have no hair.
Oh, funny. I'm like Jack Black.
Who saved the world.
I'm all right with that. My sister called me Jack Black, and I wasn't offended.
I would totally be proud to be Jack Black. That means you can do a cock push-up. All right? That is a feat no one else can really claim.
I can sing like him.
Yeah. Come on. You put yourself on the spot now, haven't you? Fuck.
I don't know. He does all that shit. All right. I said, thank you. Very nice. Thank you, sweetie. She goes, mainly because they're all tall and stocky and have beards like Ben. He still trumps them, though, with his bum. The Kim Kardashian booty for days.
That's right.
I said, haha, you know I'm reading this convo. It was meant to say on air, but it's typed here inbred.
I'm just imagining you sitting in the bathtub surrounded by bread rolls or something, texting Amy going, who's your crush? It puts the lotion on its skin.
It's because I was driving while texting, which you should never do, kids. And she comes back again, lol, I only speak the truth. That ass. So thank you, Amy, for
his
your lovely
booty.
Would you have a threesome with Joe Manganiello and your wife? Basically, like,
that's pretty much like a mirror, so that's cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least how I think I look in a mirror.
All right, so she likes Tom Hardy. So speaking of Miss Monica, she sends us an email. She goes, hi guys, let me start by saying I love the show and I could listen to you guys all day. Well, don't tempt us. Okay, Tim, thank you so much for telling me about American Satan. I never would have known about this diamond stashed away. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. I love it. What a great freaking movie. This is now in my top 10 of all-time favorites.
Whoa.
I thought she'd like it. I messaged her like before the episode came out. And I said, dude, you gotta see this.
Yeah.
And she messaged me. We were talking about it for a while. Nice. Like I said, this movie is everything I would have done. as well to be a singer of a metal band. Hell yeah. The soundtrack is excellent. I'm already a fan of Black Veil Brides, and Ben Bruce, what a hottie. However, yet, I hated Lily. She was worse than Satan himself. I was so upset when she got him to shoot up and cheat on his girlfriend. Not cool at all. Fuck, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was going to say. Bit late.
After listening to you guys talk about this movie and all its greatness, I realised only rockers would appreciate this movie. I watched it twice now.
Yes.
Yes, I'm at work and listening to the soundtrack, which you guys can find, on YouTube. Anyway, take care, guys. P.S. The Greasy Strangler is awesome. My favourite part is the vending machine.
It's so good.
Porto.
Porto. Porto. I'm sorry. I must ask again. What are these chips made from?
That's still the best.
I think he's trying to say potato.
That fucking geeky guy, man.
Free drinks. Free drinks. Fuck, stop it. We're getting distracted.
We are.
We've already
done
that episode.
Oh shit! I got it. Thank you, Monica. Yeah, if you haven't seen American Satan, go check it out, man. As soon as, actually, if you go on their site, they've got pretty good deals. Like, I think it was $45. You get the Blu-ray, a shirt, a poster, and the soundtrack.
Fuck, that's pretty heck.
Yeah, it's sick. So seriously, I would advise you if you're into rock music, if you like Walk the Line. But yep. With Satan. Go check it out. It's fucking good times. All right. Our next one comes from a guy who's part of the show. Mr. Christopher Paley.
Yes.
Just give me a second because I need to get into my Hotmail account. I forgot I didn't screenshot it.
What's good old Paley got to say? Find out soon. Stay tuned.
So the subject line is 90s forever, 80s never. Here we go again. Okay, Tim.
You're not letting that one go, eh?
No. Okay, Tim. I am responding mid-listen to your episode and had to type this immediately. First, I'm impressed that you can even read that list and I hope you gave yourself an asthma attack. Motherfucker. Second, Jamie eventually just started listing movies from the 90s. Clearly, some were shockers. That was Cloofy, actually, I think. I'm pretty sure Cloofy mentioned the list, not Jamie.
Oh, really?
Third, I'll give the 80s horror, but 90s is better at literally everything else. But you can have the horror category as your own little participation trophy.
Participation.
But yeah, nah, that was pretty funny. Love you too, Ben. Can't wait for a cuddle. Mm. Paley. P.S. The abortion joke was all Luffy. I don't care who it was. It was from your show. So, yeah.
Therefore, you are all responsible.
Exactly. Thank you. And I believe... Give me a second just to make sure.
No.
That is it for listener mail.
All right.
So, thank you everyone who sent in your mail. Now, let's kick it off with Ben's question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
Question time, it's question time. I'll do a little song and make a little rhyme for question time.
You're fucked.
How good was that, eh?
Not very good.
What?
Oh, the song was good. Your fart was not.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't mention that in the song, so it didn't happen, all right? The listeners don't know about that, only you. I saved these golden nuggets for you.
Oh, it's still lingering. Did you have to let it linger?
We're in a closed-in room. There's no way it's going anywhere.
Oh, my God.
Bro. Woo! Since lunchtime for you. Alrighty, question of the week does not have anything to do with my arsehole. Let's get to it. So the question for last week was, what is your favourite kill in a horror movie? So let's get to the good stuff. Randy Blanford, Leatherface's first kill. He bashes that dude in the head with a hammer. The victim collapses and his legs are twitching. Absolutely brutal.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
It is pretty fucking savage. Alan! When the hell column in Hellraiser 3 ripped that chick's skin off and ate her.
Yeah, and she was hot. Naked.
That sounds really brutal. Naked. You should show me that.
That's from part 3. It'll be a while before I show you part 3.
Okay, fair enough.
Through part 1 and 2 first.
Just show me that kill then so I can see naked and death.
Okay.
Cool. Alright, Jordy Van Vukelis. Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Fair call, man. Fair call. I hadn't even seen the movie and I knew that kill.
You have seen the movie.
I said I hadn't.
I have, sorry. Okay.
Obviously.
We reviewed it.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen it now. Dean Stephen, lawnmower brain dead. What?
Lawnmower death by brain in brain dead.
Oh, okay, righto. I thought he was just writing lawnmower brain dead. Very good, Dean. Okay. Mr. Wolf, a.k.a. Matthew Fishgold.
Yeah.
Surprised nobody has said the shotgun to the face from the OG Maniac. That's usually a topper.
Mm.
Joey in F-13-5 is hilarious and worth mentioning.
You don't... Sorry, Cake Wolf, I don't have to agree. You don't actually see that death. Is that only because he's a tard?
In which case, to you, him living would have been funnier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also worth mentioning, the geek monster in Funhouse 1981. Very disturbing death screams. And a final noteworthy kill is pretty much all the kills in The Prowler. Some of Savinus's best work. And then I think my favourite, though, are the kills in A Nightmare on Elm Street. They have the best kills, and it's hard to just pick one from that franchise.
It's true.
Maybe the motorcycle death?
Mm-hmm.
Special effects of the bike merging with the dude's flesh is wild.
That is pretty gnarly.
I haven't seen that, so I don't understand.
That's from later on in the series.
Fair enough. Our good friend Chris Paley, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Dude where Jason straight punches his head clean off.
So you haven't seen it. Basically, this guy wants to... This boxer, amateur boxer, thinks he can play with Jason. So he starts punching Jason on the top of a building. Jason's just taking them, copping them, not really doing anything, just moving back a bit. And then the boxer eventually gets tired and goes, take your best shot. And Jason just punches his head clean off.
That's amazing.
It's funny.
You reckon when Jason was doing it, he had like a fucking Clint Eastwood monologue in his head?
Probably.
Most powerful fist in the world. Punch your head clean off.
If only he could talk.
Yeah, but that's why it's in his head.
Yeah.
Wow. Our good mate Kieran Bowden, good old KB, when Dumbledore dies.
Kieran, it's not a horror movie.
Moho didn't write anything about Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, thank fucking finally.
And Ryan Sorkness. The anal shotgunning from I Spit on Your Grave has always stuck in my mind. Fucking... Maybe not the most brutal, but still creative.
No, I reckon that's one of the most brutal. That's fucking fucked up.
Savage.
Actually, man. That whole movie, like, there's a part where where she tapes his eyes open and puts, like, bird feet around his eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So crows come and peck his eyes out. That's fucked up.
That movie is fucking, like, brutality at its finest.
It is, yeah.
It is savage.
I just remembered the original I Spit in Your Grave when she's in the bathtub giving the guy a wristy while holding a knife in the other hand. I won't tell you what happens, but you can pretty much imagine.
Yeah. Isn't there something similar in the next, like in the
There
remake?
Is, but in the original it's just so, so much more grisly. It's just, you don't see it, but the way she moves
no.
her wrist. Yeah.
No.
Oh, cold chill down my spine.
Badness. Badness. Alrighty, so that's it for this week's question of the week. On to next week's question.
Next week!
We want to know, what is your favourite performance in a movie?
Oh!
So, for instance, your good mate from Jaws, Quint.
Quint would be mine.
Quint, that's exactly right, my friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got two.
Yeah?
My other favourite performance is Kathy Bates from Misery.
Yeah, that is very, very intense.
Yeah,
she's very well done.
She's so good.
That's right. So, let us know what your favourite performance is, guys.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Do it.
Not now, like, when this episode comes out.
Yeah, like,
or while, yeah, now,
while
you listen to it.
You're probably finished listening to the episode if you want, but that's just, like, don't forget.
Yeah, please
If you're going to forget, do it now. Just come back and listen after.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, well, let's knock open the doors with our... feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
We are talking about The Exorcist from 1973. Dude, this is like probably the most well-known horror film out there.
It is horror royalty.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. You can't... I reckon 9 times out of 10, if you ask someone, say a horror film, they'll say The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Actually, I asked my father-in-law that, and he said The Blob, which was, yeah, interesting choice.
Mm.
Anyway, so yeah, 1973. This movie, the one that we saw, because there's so many different versions, we saw the director's cut, came in at 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Correct.
It has a score on IMDb of 8 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes, 86%. The plot is... Now, I'm going to actually start doing something different with the plots from now on. Instead of doing like a... What everyone does. What's funny?
I don't know. I just... My brain went off on one of those tangents when you said you're going to do something different with the plot. I thought you were just going to start describing plots from a different movie and see people making a game. And be like, what movie did I describe?
No, I've been listening to a lot of horror podcasts, and they're always trying to do the best plot ever.
Okay.
So we're going to do the complete opposite and do the worst plot ever.
Okay.
So, for example, and you're including this, so the worst... Like, whoever gets the best laughs wins. So, for example, if we were going to do Jaws, we're going to say the plot is a shark happened.
Big fish goes bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So, do you want to do the plot for this movie, or do you want me to?
Give me a second. Rude bitch with Parkinson's spews and runs downstairs.
Fucking hell. I was going to go something like... The devil grabbed a girl. You beat it. All right, you win. This could be a fun little game. We'll each come to this, come in with a plot.
I like it.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the Exorcist accomplishments. So its budget was $12 million. Oh, and its box office was $441.3
million. Whoa.
that's with inflation. In 2004, that's equivalent to $1.794 billion.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is the 9th highest grossing film of all time.
That is enormous.
Yeah.
Even then, 12 mil, like 12 mil for a budget back then was still freaking big as well, man. Mm-hmm. That's huge to start with.
It is. Do you know what the number one highest grossing film of all time was?
What?
Have a guess. I don't think you'll ever get it.
I don't know.
Have a guess. Any movie in the world.
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest movie in the world is?
I know what it should be.
What? Star Wars?
No.
What?
Nah. Terminator 2.
You'll never get it. It's...
All right. That's what I wanted to know.
It's Gone with the Wind.
Really?
Yeah. Clark Gable. Yeah. I saw it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay. Rubbish.
So this earned 10 Academy Award nominations.
Nice.
It won Best Sound Mixing and Best Adapted Screenplay. This is the only horror movie to ever win Academy Awards.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. The first horror film to be nominated for Best Picture.
Yep.
It was named the scariest film by Entertainment Weekly in 1999. Beyond that, there was a lot of other awards I didn't write down because there's just too many.
Yeah.
It did all right. We can say that.
Yeah. It goes all right.
Yeah. So let's get into the cast and crew. So the cast is... Ellen Burstyn plays Chris McNeil.
Yes.
Max von Sydow plays Father Merrin.
Yes.
Who was 44 years of age while filming this. And he does not look like that at all.
No, not at all.
I would say close to 80 he looked. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, they
is
did.
Is that the effects, though? Did they do something with the... Surely with the makeup and
they
stuff.
They did, yeah.
Because he looks well older than that,
Yeah. Pretty good how they did it.
Same thing, though. I still get that scary movie start.
I knew like you'd bring that up. My head.
I can't... Every time you think of the priest, I just think of James Woods standing there.
Yeah, licking his tongue.
Yeah.
Jason Miller played Father Karras. He's actually Michael from The Lost Boys. He's father in real life.
Yes.
There you go. Who sadly passed away at a young age. Linda Blair, who plays Reagan. And she was actually nominated for Best Actress, but because there was a whole thing about her, because her the voice of the demon wasn't actually hers.
It was not her, so...
It was Mercedes McCambridge, who did the voice of Pazuzu. Now, the thing is, when this came out, she didn't want to be credited because she wanted to make it seem more real. And then, like, after the success, she came forward and said, well, I actually do want to be credited now.
Yeah, funny about that, eh?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of why Linda Blair didn't win Best Supporting Actress, which is wrong, in my opinion, because she did a fucking awesome job. Yeah. my last one, William O'Malley, who was Father Dyer. The director was William Friedkin. The writer was William Peter Blatty, who passed away, I think it was last year. Was it last year or this year? I think it was, yeah. Okay, well, before we get into anything, I will. Benjamin, well, you've seen this movie before.
I have seen this movie
before. I don't think there's anyone that hasn't seen this movie, really.
Yeah, I reckon so,
eh? Do you rate it?
I do. I rate this highly.
I'd be shocked if you didn't.
I know, right? Nah, this movie's fucking sick, man.
The
concept of it, the reality of it, so to speak. Like, just the fucking... Man, it can legit send shivers up your spine thinking about it.
And it did this...
100%, man.
Do you remember the first time you saw this and your thoughts, if you can?
Not entirely. I remember it fucking... I was, like, pretty young, so I remember it scaring the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember, like, I wasn't really watching it from a critical standpoint at that point. When I watched it back then, I was, like, a kid and just watching a movie, so I don't really... I remember it scaring the crap out of me, but beyond that, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really pay attention to stuff. I do remember the main thing that stuck in my head was the fucking theme music for it, though.
Tubular Bells.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely stuck in my head for ages after I saw it.
My dad likes to go on and on about how he has that actual album.
Oh, really?
That every time I talk about The Exorcist, I've got Tubular Bells on vinyl. Like, okay, cool. That's cool.
It was cool the last 15 times.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Okay, so,
You should just stop talking to your dad about The Exorcist.
I haven't seen this film, before this recent watch, for over 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, so the first time I saw it, I was a teenage horror fan. I say that in quotations because I thought I was, like, know-it-all, everything about horror, but really I just knew everything about Freddy and Jason, not much else. And so this movie was known as, like, the scariest horror movie of all time. So I went and got it and watched it. While I was watching it, you obviously know that not much of the action happens until halfway or to three-quarters of the way through the movie. And truth be told, I was really let down, disappointed. I thought it was boring and it was just a shit movie, to be honest, and it wasn't scary. So, little teenage Tim just thought, The Exorcist isn't scary. Little
slash happy Tim.
Yeah, pretty much. So it really took some growing up for me to appreciate the movie. As you can tell right now, I'm a fan of this movie now. So we both enjoy this film.
Correct.
Before we break into the movie, now this movie obviously has a lot of religious tone, so we're going to give you a little bit of a discussion about our thoughts on religion, our upbringing on religion. So Ben, do you want to take it away? How are you with religion? Your upbringing and everything?
Yeah, man, like, I don't have a problem with religion. You know, everyone believes what they want to believe or not believe. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. It doesn't bother me which way you swing.
Yeah.
You know, we were brought up in, an Anglican house, so... Mum took me to church when I was little each week and, got baptised and did all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, as you do when you get a little bit older, you don't want to go to church, you can't be bothered, so on and so forth. And then, I mean, I'm not overly religious myself. I don't really believe so much in, say, the church system and the Bible and crap. I believe there's something else out there, but I don't really believe in the Bible, strictly speaking.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like a lot of people are the same. So I'm going to tell you right now I'll go into my religious background. So I was raised in the Catholic religion. I went to a Catholic school and did my baptism and communion and confirmation and all that stuff. A lot like Ben, Mum would take me to church every Sunday, and eventually I got so fucking sick of it. It was the most boring thing that a 7 or 8 year old kid could sit through.
Exactly, man.
An hour felt like 10 days. I got bored of it. In my teenage years, I started to rebel against Christianity. Looking at the Bible, I actually read the Bible and noted all the plot holes out because there are a fucking lot.
Exactly, man.
A talking snake, really? A quote from the Bible, and I'm not going to say exactly, but the Bible states that if you marry a woman and find out she's not a virgin, you must take her to the foot of the steps of her father's house and stone her to death. Okay. Imagine if I did that to Joyce.
I think the world would run out of rocks.
Yeah, yeah. So I revolted so much against religion that I thought it was cool to get into Satanism.
Oh, yeah?
I even went to the point of actually getting the Satanic Bible and reading that and really? Thinking it was, yeah, I think it was cool. And when I finally got the Satanic Bible, I read it through and I realized one thing. That all religions are all the fucking same.
Pretty much.
They're boring as shit. And I think the me saying that I'm a Satanist and all that stuff was just rebellious teenage years and thought it was cool. If you ask me about religion now, I don't really care. I don't have time for it. But if you ask me what is your religion, I'd say I'm agnostic. And if those and you're the same.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people out there are agnostic. For those people who don't know what agnostic is, I'm going to read the definition from Urban Dictionary. This is like the best definition I've ever come across. This isn't from me. Search it up on urbandictionary.com. So, agnostic. A person who is sensible enough to admit that they have no fucking clue what is going on in the universe. Contrary to both theorists, someone who sits around in church thinking they have shit figured out, and an atheist... Someone who sits at Starbucks thinking they have shit figured out. So theist, God exists, praise. Atheist, God does not exist, sips grande cappuccino. Agnostic, we can't know, continues living.
Yeah.
So that's like the perfect
definition. Like that's pretty bang on, eh?
I read that, I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect.
I love it.
Yeah, so if you are out there and you're Catholic, more power to you. Continue living. It's just not for us.
That's right. That's what I mean. Everyone can believe what they want to believe. That's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it doesn't start you like blowing people up and shit.
Oh, well, that's probably right. That's right. If I had my way, there would be no such thing as religion. Mm. Do you know like that skit in Family Guy?
Yeah.
I like you and I have nothing. No reason not to. Hey, you heard about Jesus? They start stabbing each other.
What is it? Fucking a lot of religious issues and stuff. I think it's in Family Guy as well. They say a lot of religious issues started from poor self-image. It's got like some Jew in the gym who's like jacked ass with like six chicks standing around him, and Hitler in the corner who can't even be like one girl.
That's so good. All right, that's love fucking it. Gold. All right, so. Just ending our little discussion on our religious thoughts. Do you believe in possession?
In possession?
Yeah. Someone getting possessed by a demon or...
I believe it is entirely possible, yes.
Well, I'm going to agree. And the reason that I agree is... look, I don't know how true this is because I'm not part of the Vatican Church and I don't know their dark secrets about pedophilia and stuff like that. Whoops. wow.
What?
I should have filmed what you were just doing just then. But apparently, so I've read and so I've heard that they have 15 exorcists on hand at all times.
Yeah, man.
Now, you're a plumber.
That's correct.
The reason
I see what this has to do with exorcism.
The reason you're a plumber is because sometimes sinks break.
That's correct.
So you are needed
to fix a sink.
Exactly. So for someone to need an exorcist...
Yes, their ex must be broken.
Yeah. They must be needed for something.
That's true.
So, look. I'm agnostic. I believe that there's something beyond life. And truth be told, like... atheism, people who believe in atheism, yeah, good on ya. I don't want to believe that there's nothing.
Yeah, after death. I find that thought just way too depressing. Eh?
It is because like what they believe in like nothing happens after death.
That's shit.
Yeah, I want to reincarnate into a butterfly.
Yeah.
No one's successful.
You'd be a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. Bug life.
Someday I will be a beautiful butterfly.
No one suspects the butterfly. we both believe in possession.
Yep.
Now, enough talk about this religious propaganda. Let's talk about the actual movie.
Yes.
All right, well, I think the first thing that we can talk about is the effects.
Yeah.
You saw them? You were a fan?
Yes.
1973, man.
The 1973, man, they are fucking off the chain.
It's not just that. It's the fact that, like, this was put onto a... Linda Blair was 13 years old. When making this film.
That's fucking intense role for a 13-year-old.
Oh, shit, yeah. And she, like, she was not...
Did she have any backlash from it? Did she have any issues later or anything?
She went into porno after this. not porno, Playboy.
Okay.
Yeah. Still. But she's, like, she's an middle-aged lady. Oh, not middle-aged. She's an elderly lady now. I think she's, like, in her 60s. And she's fine. She's doing all right.
She did her Playboy shoot last week.
She's actually a cute kid. Her growing up, like her in a Playboy shoots.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in the mid 80s, so you got all that bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that best. But no, so she wasn't allowed to watch this when it came out.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah. But okay, I don't really understand that. I mean, like, she did the roles. She knows what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a bit, I mean, I suppose acting it compared to seeing the final product would probably be a bit different. The final product would be a bit more full on, like, especially if it wasn't her voice and such when she was possessed. And,
yeah.
Like, the finished product would be a lot more full frontal.
That's true. That's true. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when the director was explaining to Linda Blair, like, how you're going to stab the crucifix into your vagine and scream, "Fuck me, Jesus."
Hmm.
How would you explain that to a 13-year-old girl? It kind of...
Yeah, it's a bit weird, eh?
Yeah, it weirds me out a bit. But, hey, she did an awesome job.
Would have been an awkward morning on set.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even when she's screaming, "Fuck me. Jesus, fuck me."
Yeah.
Bit strange. But no, we're talking about the effects right now. So, that part where she vomits into Father Karras.
Yes.
Pea soup.
Ah, right, okay.
That was pea soup. And we watched that clip again. Recently, and I said something about it. The thing is that they misfired. So eventually, evidently, it was meant to get on the chest of Father Karras, but got into his face.
I like that heaps more.
So do I.
Because I feel like a demon possessing someone isn't exactly worried about, like, manners or anything. Like,
Exactly.
You're going to spew on someone, spewing on their chest, compared to spewing, like, directly into their face. The face is so much more disrespectful and, like, such a bigger fuck you.
Yeah. I feel like they say it was a misfire.
I feel like they might have set that up and just not told him. Yeah. Especially because that way, the clear reaction of him having the shits was, like, genuine.
Yeah, exactly. And he's gone on record to say that he was very angry that day. Fair enough. But, like, come on, dude, it's only pea soup.
Yeah. You'll live.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so the effects are, they're something else.
Yeah.
They're fucking nuts.
Yeah, they were great.
So
the condition of the skin and everything as
It was nuts. Like,
fuck, man.
Yeah. So I would say the effects were 10 out of 10 right there.
Yeah.
For that. We'll go to the score. You said
Tubular Bells.
That's the one.
That's the one.
I couldn't get it out. Iconic, man.
Yeah, straight up.
Because that wasn't from The Exorcist. That was an actual music piece.
Before the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they bought it and used that. But you can't hear that and not think of The Exorcist.
Exactly.
That is one of the...
Absolutely, man.
Truthfully, one of the most iconic themes. It's probably not up there with Jaws, but Halloween. I would say it's up there with Halloween.
Definitely up there with Halloween, especially seeing as it's even, like, sort of similar to Halloween.
It is. It is in many ways.
The first time I heard it, I didn't understand. I was like, what the fuck is the Halloween music?
There were a few shots in The Exorcist that kind of resembled a little bit of Halloween. So I feel like John Carpenter kind of got, like, took notes on some of the shots, some of the music and stuff like that.
Yeah. But that being said, with a movie this big and iconic, as if you wouldn't want to take notes from it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
It's
like
paved the way for it.
You know what's funny? And I'm going to be looked at so stupidly right now, but for some reason, look, I haven't watched this film for over 10 years. some reason I always thought this film was in London, set in London. I don't know why.
Is it because of the artwork that's in your head, like the cover?
That are like just the streets. They seem more like British than American.
That's what I mean, though. Like in the cover, the guy standing there with the coat and the hat on and the street light.
Yeah.
Like I know what you're getting at. For some reason, I would definitely imagine more. If someone just showed me that picture and said, "Where in the world is this?" Something about it. Maybe it's the coat and the hat, or
I don't
something
know why.
For some reason to me, that's I would say England.
Okay, so I'm not the dumbass.
That's my job. You can't have it.
All right. Well, let's go into the acting. Fuck, man. Well, can we say much about it? I mean, it was nominated for awards.
Exactly. Not to mention, like, the arguable star of the movie was 13. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, will discuss, as we said before, like, Melissa McCambridge was the voice, so Reagan's acting wasn't that great. Are you fucking serious?
You serious? I
mean, just because it wasn't her voice, she still mouthed it.
Yeah.
She still did the spider crawl and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't think that was her, actually.
But no, but like, still. credit to her. Like, what good is a scary voiceover if the person in bed is laying there and looks bored delivering their lines?
Exactly.
Like, a voiceover, it is important, of course. Like, it also wouldn't be scary if you were saying those lines in just a cute little voice. You need the voice to deliver the power of it.
Yeah.
But you've still got to have a visual representation of it as well.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's just shit.
It's shit.
You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Speaking of performances, I feel like the performance of this movie and your question of the week kind of tie in together. Was that your thing?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It is fucking very, very good.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go into the story now, because that's a bit of a conversation as it is. Now, if you stop someone on the street and say, "What's The Exorcist about?" everyone's going to say possession. But there's so much more to this movie. Like,
yeah.
The thing with The Exorcist, a little before everyone remembers the vulgar lines, the crazy effects, no one, including myself, remembers the real story of The Exorcist. It's one of the movies that dares to tell a story. What I found most impressive is how it seems to reject the possibility of possession and exorcism until the final showdown. For the most part, we explore the possibilities that maybe Reagan isn't telling the truth, maybe what the doctors are saying is true. And maybe the title of this film is, in fact, a metaphor for mental illness.
Yeah, that's right.
On top of that, you've got Father Karras, who is disbelieving his faith. He's suffering with the loss of his mother. You've got that side story. And on top of that, you've got the detective. His story about the... I can't remember his name. The director dying. Which...
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Which...
I'm having a mental blank on his name as well. Fuck.
We just watched a clip with him and it fucking... Anyway, which never ends up resulting in anything. I feel...
It's like a thread they start.
Yeah.
And they just never go anywhere with it.
Mm.
It's like they started it and then realised they couldn't be bothered doing it, so they just sort of wrapped it in like 2 seconds.
It is.
Without even a satisfying end.
Yeah, and it's funny because the detective, like, he kind of just... shrugs his shoulders after the priest dies. It's like, well, the priest was more important, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a little dislike for me. And spoiler alerts, that's basically the only dislike of this movie.
Yeah.
But I love the fact, like, going into this now, I have more of an open mind of my brain's matured. How I can see more into this movie, that it's not just a possession movie, it's really a character-based film. And I love the fact that, like, for most part, and it even had me questioning at the time, like, fuck, I've seen it. Is she actually possessed, or is she suffering from mental illness?
Yeah.
So if it had me guessing, like, imagine people with the first time watch.
Yeah, that's right. But that's part of what's great about the movie is the way it pulls you in, and it's not. Yeah, even though the name is The Exorcist, it's not super obvious straight away.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, they work the angle of the mental illness being a very real possibility very well, that does keep you guessing.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, she just comes out in the first 10 minutes of the movie possessed and just rips someone's head off, and you go, alright, so she's a demon. No worries, fuck. Like, it fucking keeps you guessing.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the version that we watched, this was the I think it's called the version that you've never seen before. So, what happened was, back in 1973, they had the film all filmed out and all that stuff. This, I'm sure you know, originated from the book. Yes. Done by Peter Blatty. Once it was all filmed and edited and all that stuff, William Friedkin, the director, took this to a colleague of his. I can't remember what his name was. And the colleague said, there's a few things that I think should be taken out. William Friedkin actually took offense to this because he was... he won awards for his previous film, which I'm struggling to remember. The Italian Job or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, The Italian Job is an old movie from around that.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's that or something else. Anyway, something to do with cars. Anyway, so he kind of took offense, but then he thought about it and he kind of did take them out just to see if he did was right. And yeah. In interviews he said, well, he was right. So he did take them out, which William... Peter Blatty,
yep.
The writer, there's too many Williams, the writer actually was really, really upset with. And yeah, actually, okay. Them two had huge fights, ended up not talking, because they were friends, not talking for years upon years. And it wasn't until the year 2000.
Really?
Where William Peter Blatty actually came and said, can we just look at those deleted scenes and talk about it? So, fuck, man, from 1973 to the year 2000,
so, like, they were fighting about years.
It. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, 27 was, years.
Yeah.
They didn't even, like, get together to discuss the possibility.
I think they...
It was more of just a fuck you.
Pretty much, yeah. I think he took it on, like, as an insult.
Personal.
Yeah. So they got together, and evidently we now have the version that you've never seen with the stuff. So it was about 12 minutes cut out from the original film. So that spider walk.
Yep.
Well, they cut that out originally because when they filmed that, the wires holding her were actually visible. And it wasn't until the year 2000 when they had the technology to get rid of them. So, yeah. But there are a lot of things that were cut out because William Friedkin thought he didn't need. The part where the two priests are on the stairwell talking about why it's this girl being possessed, that whole part was cut out. It was never in the film. And that was one of the parts that William Peter Blatty... explained to Friedkin that needs to be in the film. Evidently, they did put it in, and I feel like it is a necessary part of the movie, so I'm kind of on Peter Blatty's side on this.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a lot of cut out, and the last part of the film, which I'm more on William Friedkin's side, that really didn't need to be put in, was when the detective and Father Dyer are talking and... It kind of leaves it a bit... It doesn't leave it open, but it just leaves it like... Okay, I didn't really understand why they were talking.
Yeah, it sort of just changes the ending, gives it a little bit more... as you say, you wouldn't say open, but it's just kind of irrelevant.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I really don't understand.
It didn't add anything to it? No. So why is it there?
Yeah, and please, listeners, explain to me why it's left in, because I really didn't get it. They just talk about... going to see a movie.
Yeah, if there's something going out, like, over our head, can you fill us in? Because we can't make, heads or tails of it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's there.
Anyway, that was basically the backstory of the making of. So I think we've talked this movie to... We can talk a lot more of it, but... I think I've said all I can to say. So do you want to come with the last thoughts and a score, Benjamin, or you want me to?
No, I'll come in. So, yeah, as we said, the acting was phenomenal. That was just awesome. The score is awesome because there's Tubular Bells. Like, as you said, iconic. It's iconic and it's just an instant recognition. As soon as you start hearing it, Exorcist. You know it straight away. You know what it is. You know what it's from.
Yeah, it's a played Halloween.
Absolutely, absolutely, and the way they worked the two angles on the movie, you know, between the mental illness and the actual possibility of possession, that kept you guessing throughout it was a good way not only of keeping you interested, but I feel like in a way it made a statement about mental illness, even though it wasn't the actual point of the movie.
Yeah,
which right. I feel was like actually a pretty cool sort of thing to draw light to.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of a real world issue as well. So that was cool, man. I liked it, man. This had me going. The only nitpick I have with it, really, as I've mentioned before, and I know it's a personal nitpick, I just have a short attention span. So yeah. I did find the first half of this movie sort of dragged a little bit.
Yeah.
There's like the, you know, usually give it 20 minutes or so to start establishing story and this and that. But then I did find it dragged a little bit until, things started getting a bit more heated and a bit more interesting in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a personal nitpick for me.
That's fine, yeah.
But other than that, I thought it was, I really can't floor this movie. It's fucking horror royalty for a reason.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's right.
So far, love it. I would come in with a 9 out of 10 for this.
Very nice.
It's fucking nearly perfect. As I said, the only thing that really throws me a bit is just it dragged a bit.
Yeah.
In the first part, which to me is just a little bit dull.
Yeah.
You know,
so I understand that.
Had me do the old clock check.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's mine.
Yeah, that's cool.
Coming in 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10's a perfect movie.
Fucking awesome score.
It fucking is, man, but it deserves it, this movie.
That's true.
It's got its status for a reason.
Yeah. My final thoughts and score are, this movie is really good. You should watch it.
Thank you,
I did. Dude, what's there to be said about The Exorcist that hasn't been said before? As Ben said, it's known as one of the greatest horror films, not just that, one of the greatest films of all time for a reason. I love everything about it. There's no real dislike, except the part that I said, like there was no real ending to the detective case.
Yeah.
That was not like a huge dislike. It was something that kind of bothered me a bit. Other than that, there's like a few nitpicks, but I guess that's with the version that we saw. Other than that, like, this movie is perfect in every way, shape, and form. My score, and I was tossing up between a 9 and a 10. A 9 and a 10, sorry. And I'm coming in, like, I thought about it. I'm coming in with a 9 as well, because I feel like this is a film that it is perfectly done. Like, you cannot really fault this film, but it's not a film I can re-watch all the time.
Yeah, agreed. As you say, you went 10 years without watching it to rewatch it now, but it's not like now that you've rewatched it, you'd go, yeah, I'm going to rewatch this next week.
Yeah, exactly. It won't take me 10 years to watch it again, I can tell you that much. But, like, yeah, I won't be watching this next week.
You make it like a Christmas movie, you can just watch it annually.
Yeah, maybe not at Christmas time.
No, not at Christmas time, but I meant once Halloween. A year sort of thing.
Yeah, Halloween would be a perfect time for this film. So, yeah, that's our review on The Exorcist. Dude, if you haven't seen The Exorcist, well, we've spoiled everything for you, so there's that. But if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen it for a long time, go watch it again, because it really holds up. I mean, what?
Yeah.
73, what's that? Fucking 40 years, something.
35
something.
Years.
So, anyway, whatever it is.
Yeah, 35 years. No,
it can't be 35. No, because Jaws is 40 years old now.
45 years.
Fucking hell. So there you go. 45 years and it still holds up.
Yeah, 45 years.
Wow. As well. Yeah, so go watch it again. Go rewatch it. It is worth every cent that you want to go buy it, or every minute worth of your time to go watch it. So yeah. Exorcist. All right. We're going to switch things up. Me and Ben had a little bit of talk about our music segment, and we thought two songs back to back maybe a bit too confusing, especially with their new songs that you haven't heard, and we're telling you the artists.
Yeah, trying to figure out what song's what when you announce two songs at once and then change the order you're going to play them in. And
yeah. Kind of stupid on my part, but anyway. so instead of going straight to what's under the bed reviews, we're going to kick it off with a song. This song that I chose kind of resembles The Exorcist in a way. It's from a band called Creator. Have you heard of Creator?
I have definitely heard of Creator.
Heavy metal at its finest. So the song I chose is a song called Satan Is Real. It kind of goes with the Exorcist.
That's right. There's a theme going on here.
Even though it's not Satan in The Exorcist, it's a demon called Pazuzu.
Pazuzu.
or Mr. Howdy. That's Reagan's name for it. Their real name is Pazuzu. So, yeah, this song is called Satan is Real. The band is Creator. I actually can't remember where they're from. They're from Europe somewhere.
Okay.
But they're fucking awesome.
Yeah, they're fucking
If you like your heavy metal and you haven't heard Creator, go check out Creator and listen to this song. Satan is Real. We'll be back after this. welcome to What's Under the Bed reviews for this week. So this movie that I'm doing for this week is a movie called Tragedy Girls. Comedy horror. So the plot, and I'm going to give it an actual plot this time. it's a twist of the slasher genre. Following two death-obsessed teenage girls who use their online show about real-life tragedies to send their small Midwestern town into a frenzy and cement their legacy as modern horror legends.
Nice.
This stars... I can't actually pronounce her name. She is the girl from Deadpool, one with a shaven head.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this movie, she has... What's funny?
Sorry, I was just thinking of, like, Deadpool now.
In this movie, she has blonde, like, a full head of hair, blonde hair. It's cut short, though.
Yeah, okay.
She is pretty nice in the eyes.
Yeah,
I've got to say. I have a little bit of a crush. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know. Maybe the short blonde hair, actually, yeah. I have a little bit of a crush on her. It also stars Alexandria Shipp, who... she's from X-Men Apocalypse. I've seen her in nothing else.
Who's she in Apocalypse?
Give me a second. Ororo?
No, I got nothing.
Munro? What's that? I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Aurora.
You know that?
No.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay. Yeah. It also stars Jack Quaid. You'd know him if you saw him. There's a few people in there that you'd know if you saw them.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
go through it. Okay, so my likes in this movie. Great story, and the acting's great. It's a different story, one we've really never seen before, and it uses the...
I like that.
Yeah, it uses social media as a... It's a real story, like, in the world we live in now.
Yep.
The only dislikes I have with this film is it's kind of predictable.
Yeah, okay.
In a way, I could kind of tell what was going to happen as the movie kept going.
Yeah.
All in all, it's a great fresh story with a fresh, decent cast. Pretty cast.
Mm.
At times, I guess the next scene, and it was... And it took from a lot of other horror films and wasn't discreet about it. Apart from that, it's a fun ride and it's well worth a watch. Now, this came out... It came out strangely. It came out, like, at the end of last year, but I don't think it's... I think it came out on VOD recently, like, in July sometime.
Yeah.
So it's worth your time. I'm coming in with an 8 out of 10. It's a movie that I'm going to watch. May end up on the best of list at the end of the year.
Ooh.
But hell, fucking hell. It's like... It's February. We're almost in March, so we've got a bit of a... Bit of a length to go before we
start talking about best of. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, but if that floats your boat, give it a go. Tragedy Girls. It's a good ride. All right, let's talk about some people and their voices. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to hear the voice of the people you mentioned before.
Let's do it.
In voice of the people.
Alright, we have picked the movies, you guys have said your parts, so the movies for next week are as follows. Now we went to, I wanted to go a bit old, older than The Exorcist, a little bit older than The Exorcist, and Alan's actually asked if we could do a classic a long time ago, and sorry it took us this long, Alan, but we're finally here. So I went to the Universal Monsters again, because it's a sure thing.
Yes.
So the movies are The Wolfman versus... The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ooh.
You haven't seen either of these, have you?
I have not seen either of these.
I'd be surprised if you did. if you could pick a winner, if it was your choice, who would you pick?
Creature from the Black Lagoon, I reckon.
Wow, why?
Because it's one of those names that I just heard, like, constantly.
Okay.
Like, throughout my whole life, I've heard things referenced to, like, the Creature from the Black Lagoon and stuff. I kind of want to know what it actually is.
See, this is... Okay, when I put these two together... Look, I was voting... I was hoping for the Creature from the Black Lagoon, truth be told. But when I put these two together, I thought Wolfman's going to run away with this. The winner... I'll give you the winner right now. With a vote of 55% from 90...
So it was a close call.
Yeah, 98 votes we had. 55%. The Creature from the Black Lagoon won, as the Wolfman's 45%.
Wow.
Actually shocked me a bit. Like, the Wolfman, like, I feel like the Creature is on the bottom scale of the Universal Monsters, where the Wolfman's up there with Dracula and Frankenstein.
Yeah, I agree. See, the Wolfman would, if you asked me, I would say the Wolfman would probably be the more well-known of the two creatures.
Yeah, definitely.
But just because I've always heard things, like, as I said, reference to it, you know, if people say something looks heaps weird, they're like, oh, it looks like a creature in the Black Lagoon or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Now I actually want to know what the fuck that is.
Well, lucky for you, you're going to get your chance.
Hooray!
Next week. And I'm sorry, Cake Wolf. He actually wanted the...
Wolfman?
Wolfman to win, yeah.
Of course he did.
Well, it's his name, so...
That's what I mean. It's fairly self-explanatory on that one.
Yeah. Poor little Cake Wolf. All right. Well, let's kick it off. What's next? Our last segment.
Our very last segment now.
Well...
Tim.
What's pumping on your iPod?
This is my jam. Keep me partying till the AM. Y'all don't understand. Make me throw my hands in the air.
Well, well, well. Look who happened to join in at the last possible second. He is so close. I was literally 2 seconds away from sending this podcast in when I got an email from Paley. So, he comes in with his musical minute of the week for The Exorcist. So take it away, Paley, and thank you.
Yeah, Horror for Dummies. Paley here with the song for The Exorcist. I don't know how this keeps happening, but it appears that heavy metal and horror seem to go kind of hand in hand. So today's song is The Exorcist by Possessed, which are a Bay Area death metal band. Apparently, I wouldn't actually know because I don't listen to a lot of death metal. So this might be a little... actually, I don't listen to much metal in general. But this could be a little introduction for the band for myself. But, yeah. Apparently, the intro uses the music from the film, which is... how relevant's that? Fucking nailed it this week. Yeah, I don't know. Peace out, yo.
Pumping on our iPod this week. Well, nothing on my iPod besides Creator, which we played before. But we have a little request coming in from our friend in on the other side of Australia, Perth, Dean Stevens. He's given us a quest. A band called the Dune Rats.
Yes.
You know them.
I am familiar with Dune Rats.
You're not personally, but you know of them.
No, I'm just like mates with them. I hang out with them. I'm actually going to meet them after the show.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's are they from Perth?
I actually don't know where they're from. I know they're Aussie, I just don't know where they originate.
Okay. Well, the song he's requested is called Bullshit.
Yeah, okay, fair call.
Yeah. So it's like a... How can I describe it? Punk, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're played on the...
Your brother would be heaps into them.
Probably, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he actually went and saw him last time.
Did he?
They played up around in Sydney.
How do you know this and I don't?
Because I've got your brother on Facebook.
Ah, I see. I see. Okay, so yeah, that's the song we're playing for you at the end of the episode. Bullshit by Dune Rats. So that's been the show.
It has been.
In a nutshell.
And still is, really.
Yeah.
We're just done.
We are done. Dun dun diddle.
Dun dun.
Before we wrap this show up.
Dun dun.
I get what you're doing. I like that song. All right, we get it. Before we wrap the show up, I forgot to... shut up! Before we wrap the show up, I forgot something that Cake Wolf has said. Fucking hell. We're done. I get it. We're not done yet. I'm still going. Cake Wolf has given us a weird request.
That worries me, considering most of the shit he writes is normally well, weird. Well,
this requires you eating a banana. So are you hungry right now?
I will eat a banana right now if I have to eat a banana.
Well,
right
this
now.
One has to be filmed.
Okay.
Basically, he's... it's the weirdest fucking shit ever.
Okay.
So, he's given us this video to watch called Kirk Cameron and Bananas. Basically, it's about a religious person talking about bananas. So, he wants us to watch this while... This is what he asks. Will Ben sloppily eat a banana on the show while you play this YouTube video for him?
Sloppily?
Yeah.
How do I sloppily eat a banana?
Is that even how you pronounce it?
Huh?
Sloppily, yeah. Yeah. That's how he's gonna he also wants you to... This is our conversation. I said, I'll ask him. I may have to film this one. He says, and then please say, Hail Satan after it. I said, fuck yes, I'm going to make him. He says, ask him if eating the banana has now made him believe in the existence of God. And he goes, when he says no, I want a big old Hail Satan. I said, what if he says yes, though? He goes, then I'll become a nun. So then it went into a...
He's got a thing for nuns, though.
He goes, Christians are weird, yo. First it's bananas explaining the existence of God, then it's Flavor Aid Cocktail of Death. So, okay. So we had a little bit of a discussion and him talking about how he was going to become a nun. So I kind of went into a wager with him, saying that if Ben does this, if you do eat a banana sloppily while watching this YouTube video, then we want him to do a sexy dance, film him doing a sexy dance while wearing a dress.
Okay.
It took a little bit of a little bit of back and forth, but I think I've got him on board. I think.
Okay.
He said that he's only going to do it if he can wear his wolf head so his co-workers don't know it's him. So that's fine. That's all right.
So, do a sexy wolf dance for
so,
us.
Yeah, so basically it comes down to you, Ben. Are you going to take this challenge?
And... I am definitely going to take this challenge. Yes. There's no way I'm dogging the fucking Banana World challenge.
All right, we're doing it. We are doing this shit.
Fucking oath, we are.
So you'll see this video on the Horror for Dummies Facebook page. If you want to see this video and you're not a fan of the Facebook page, well then get onto that bullshit right now. Just go to Facebook horror and search in Horror for Dummies. You'll see it there. It's all that good stuff. If you want to reach out to us, say your little thoughts, tell us what you thought about The Exorcist or what you think about our show and all that stuff. Catch us at, you can email us at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com, or like I said, just get us at the Facebook page, message us, or if you have us on Facebook personally, you can do all that stuff. Pretty easy to get in contact with us. We are regularly on Facebook. Well, I am.
What?
You have a phone, I don't know why.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah, it just shits me. Stupid things sit in my pocket. People call me and expect me to actually answer it.
Fucking up. Fucking, you know that meme? That meme that's like got a picture of a gun and said, you have to call one person. If they answer, you die. Who are you going to call? It's you every time.
I know I'm safe. Yeah, I save lives, all right? I save lives. I do it for the good of my friends.
This is why I talk to your wife.
Yeah,
it's the only way to reach you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All my friends know that. If you actually need an answer out of me for something, they'll just message Amy. There's no way. She'll even just be like, yeah, he's on the lounge right next to me. It's horrible.
Yeah, she sends me photos of you on the lounge playing WoW.
Yeah, playing WoW.
Yeah.
Scratching my balls, watching TV, pretty much anything that has nothing to do with my phone.
Why do you hate your phone?
I don't know.
I'm glued to my phone, I think.
See, that's why. I got other things to do with my time.
Fair enough.
I don't want to miss life because I'm stuck on the phone. Plus, it just causes problems. People send you messages, you don't answer, they get the shits, they get misinterpreted, they go, oh, I wonder if they have the shits at me. They try and message you legit don't see the message, or you're busy and forget to write back, and then they think you've got the shits with them.
That's
shit
true.
Shit happens, arguments start, or you can't sense people's tone over messages and
that
shit.
That is true.
And that causes arguments, so no. I don't want a bar of it.
Fair enough.
Like that, I will talk to the people I'm spending my time with.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. All right, before we go, I said last week
and
that we...
you guys. I talk to you guys.
Yeah, he does. Before, I said last week that we have a few reviews on our Facebook page. I'm going to read those out right now.
Woohoo!
All right, so we got some reviews from you fine young listeners, and I want to just read them out. since you guys took the time and effort to put in these reviews, so it's the least that I could do. So the first one we got, in no particular order either, first one we got is from our friend Chris Paley. He writes, "Ben is the cuddliest guy in Australia. True fact. Tim's a good egg too. Also, the show is good. Everything is good, guys. Good." And he gives us 5 stars. Yeah, thanks, Paley. Next up, we have Anthony Blaney. He writes, "They are all calling me ham and sausages, lining up spicy wings on the back seat." Okay. I don't know what you're on about, dude. But he gives us 5 stars. Thank you. Gene Turner. He writes, "Awesome Aussies. Love the podcast. Those guys are hilarious." And 5 stars. Thanks, Gene. Ryan Sorkness. He writes, "Tim and Ben are funny as hell. 5 stars. Thanks, Ryan. Fucking champion. Matthew Fishgold, he gives us 5 stars, but he doesn't leave a review because he hates us. All joking, Fishcake. I was going to call you Fishcake. Cake Wolf, cheers for the 5 stars. Appreciate it. Dean Steven writes, "You guys are awesome. Love the Aussie humour and your complete honesty when it comes to reviews. I haven't laughed that much in weeks. P.S. I'm just off to ride my kangaroo to the servo, fill up, then I'm off to wrestle some crocodiles." And he gives us 5 stars. I wouldn't suggest wrestling some crocodiles, Dean. But good luck to you. Thank you for the 5-star review. Alan! I can't do it as good as Ben. He writes, "This show is awesome. Listen to it or remain a vagrant on the streets of life forever." It's true. It's true. He gives us 5 stars. Thanks, Alan. Geordie Van Vugles comes in with 5 stars. Daniel Kalouf, he gives us 5 stars and he says, "I would say it's better than a stick in the dick." I hope it's better than a stick in the dick. That doesn't sound fun at all. last and definitely least, Samantha Day, our friend Samantha Day, gives us 5 stars as well. Thank you to everyone who put in a review. It means the world to us. It makes us feel good when we get reviews. It proves to us that actually people are listening to this shit show and that you actually like it, I guess. We can't thank you enough. I'm going to sound ungrateful here, but the best way to get us noticed is by putting a review on the iTunes review section. That will make us look good in the eyes of the boss. All hail Darian Brock. And it will just get the network known a bit. So, not saying you have to, but we would love you so much more if you could do that. So thank you everyone who put in reviews. All right, well, that's it for us. Thank you so much. Catch us next week with the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Ben, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And here is the Dune Rats with Bullshit. Thanks again, Dean Stevens.
Love you. Shit. Artist.
I'll take a drink. Bye.
Liar.